things have an emotional connection, we tend to remember the logic and the emotion. Magic formula. If you want people to remember your logical points connected to something emotional, they will remember the logic because the emotion will trigger the recollection of the logic.
Stayallday.com. Pretty exceptional.
Work on your game.
I like the approach.
Work on your fucking game.
Everybody has, relates to what Dre's saying in a different way.
Work on your game.
I like the way he thinks.
Work on your fucking game.
I like the frameworks that he's put together.
Work on your game.
And I would highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to work on their game.
Work on your fucking game.
I think it's a good approach. It's a different approach, too.
Hey, you, work on your game.
Gave me something really good.
What can you get? DreAllDay.com.
And his philosophy makes a lot of sense.
Not only work on your game, perfect your craft.
Work on your game.
He knows how to communicate in such a fabulous way.
I can't say it enough.
Work on your game. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there even when the success you expected to achieve is yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative, which is the go-getter energy that moves any one of us, including yourself, to go and make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. And then we put all this together into a series of frameworks, approaches, insights, strategies, and techniques underneath the umbrella of one unified philosophy that is called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. And today's topic is why emotional connection matters. Before we get into this, I remind you of two things. First of all, daily motivation text and weekly Monday motivation text coming out straight from my text community. It is free to join the community. My number is 305-384-6894. Once we get that going again, you will be getting that text. Secondly, Work On Your Game University. That's the place where I do all my coaching. If you would like to be coached by me directly, you want to get into our program, where we have a four-part framework based around mindset, strategy, systems, and accountability to help you get to your next level, your next plateau when it comes to your income and your business, your performance, and your results. Go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. That's where you can see what we're doing in our program, see your options, schedule a time to get on a call with us. If we feel like we can help you, feel like you'd be a good fit for what we're doing, we'll tell you exactly how it works and exactly what the next steps are to take. That out the way, let's get into the topic, why emotional connection matters. Now, just back in episode 2839, not too long ago, I explained to you why you want to use emotion and how it can actually help you succeed, not only with yourself, but also with other people. And today, what I'm going to do is explain why the emotional connection between you and the other people whom you wish to influence, why that connection matters in both your personal and in your business life. And this emotional connection is a thing that does matter, even though we are in the emotional management business. You want to control your emotions. You don't let them control you. You don't let them take the wheel of your life. Doesn't mean that you don't have emotion. Doesn't mean you don't use emotion. And today I'm going to explain to you why that connection that is more emotional than logical and rational, why it does matter, even though the emotion still needs to be managed and directed, let's say, even if it's not fully controlled. Let's get into it. Point number one. Topic, once again, is why emotional connection matters. Number one. Emotion bypasses the logical centers of the brain. This is how some people tend to be more emotional than logical, even when they seem to be doing something that's completely illogical, but they are driven by emotion. Why you, maybe being more logical in the moment, can look at them and say, well, don't you logically see how this doesn't make any sense? And the answer is, at that moment, no, they cannot see it. They are blinded by their emotions because, again, emotion bypasses logic. So it just doesn't even notice that logic exists. Like someone speeding through a stop sign as if they never even saw the sign. That's how emotion is. So if you desperately need to move a person to action, the fastest, most efficient way, not the only way, but the fastest and most efficient way to do it is not through a logical explanation, because most people do not respond so strongly to a logical explanation. They may respond, they may get it, they may even act on it, but they won't respond as strongly to a logical explanation as one would to an emotional plea or emotional triggering of a person, if you will. Emotion travels to the brain faster. It activates action more efficiently and more strongly than any amount of logic ever would. And this applies to all human beings, even though some humans are more susceptible to this phenomenon than others. But everyone is susceptible to it. Just again, some people just have a stronger response to it. But it does not, no one is exempt from it. Most people make their decisions based on some emotion and not logic anyway. And that applies to damn near everyone as well. We all tend to think we are making our decisions based on logic, but we make our decisions based on emotion, and then we come up with a logical justification for the decision that we made. And it tends to be the more intelligent the person, the more convincing their logical justification is. And the person who is less intelligent, they will still come up with what they see as a logical justification, even though it may be harder for them to make sense of their logical justification, or there may be fewer people they can fool, so to speak, with their logical justification. But a really smart person can come up with a really convincing logical justification for a decision that was made with emotion as well. They just can come up with a better way of explaining what was essentially an emotional decision. And then you have a few people. These are rare, and sometimes it doesn't even apply to all people at all times. So some people are able to do this in rare instances, but they can't do it all the time, is that they make an emotional decision, and then they can logically explain to you that, yeah, that was an emotional decision. I made an emotional decision, and I admit that it was emotional, and I'll even tell you that it was. Some people have the self-awareness to do that. Not everyone ever experiences being able to be that aware, and even those who are that aware cannot always access the ability to do that, but sometimes we are able to do that. There have been times in my life where I know I had done things that I know were emotional decisions. And I could even say to myself that that was an emotional decision. I know I did that based on some emotion that I was feeling. It was not a logical decision at all. And either A, maybe I shouldn't have done it now that I can logically think about it. I have some distance and I can logically think about it. Or B, you know what? Even though it was an emotional decision, I don't regret doing it. I would do the same thing again that I did that time. I would do the exact same thing all over again. For example, when I told you all the story of my son's birth, by the time you all hear this, he is going on to be 19 months of age. When I told you the story of my son's birth, there were some things that happened in the hospital that night. And we only ended up in the hospital because my son had some meconium, which is like when a baby poops inside the womb and he's not supposed to. He's supposed to poop when they get out of the womb, but he pooped inside. And we took him to the hospital just to make sure he didn't have any of it ingested into his lungs. And doctors were doing some things they shouldn't have done. If you want to know that story, just look up the article that I wrote called The True Story of My Son's Birth if you want the details. And there were some emotional reactions I had in the hospital that night to the doctors and nurses getting out of line as far as I'm concerned. And I don't regret it, even though there's a lot of distance between then and now. At this moment, when I'm retelling you a little bit of that story, I don't regret any of my reactions that night that were driven by some level of emotion, but they were mixed in with logic. But I would do the exact same thing all over again that I did then. I wouldn't take back a single thing I said or a single action that I took over the course of that less than 24 hours that we were in the Jackson Hospital down here in Miami, because it was all justified as far as I'm concerned and still is to this day. So even though I can point out that those actions were driven by emotion, I don't regret it. So just because something is driven by emotion does not necessarily mean it's a bad idea. Depends on what it is. Now, you are the one who gets to judge when it comes to your own actions. So, as I said, most people make their decisions based on emotion, and they come up with some logical explanation for it. And a few people, few and far between sometimes with some people, we can point out that we made a decision based on emotion. And as we say in the sales world, people make decisions based on emotion, justified with logic, and notice the order of operations. Emotions first, logic second. So it's not that logic doesn't matter, because logic will help to tie down, so to speak, an emotional decision. If someone can make an emotional decision and then the next morning when they're no longer emotional, say, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe that was a bad idea. And this is why the logic matters, because when someone makes an emotional decision, you still need to give them some logical reasons to help them justify that emotional decision. Because when the emotion dies down and wears off and now all they have is logic, if you didn't help them create any logical reasons to justify that emotional choice, they may go and backtrack on the decision that they just made. So any of you who's ever worked in sales, maybe you made a sale to someone on Monday while they were at an emotional peak. But then on Tuesday, because you didn't provide any logical reasoning to justify that emotional choice on Tuesday, their emotion has gone away. And now they unwind from that emotion. Now they're like, well, logically, this doesn't make sense. And they want to undo it. They want to get a refund or bring the product back or change their mind or whatever it is that you sold to them. So do not discount the value of logic in helping solidify the emotional choice. All right, don't think that just because one is stronger than the other that the other does not matter. All right, they do matter. All right, there are certain parts of the, when I talk about you building a high-rise building, like there are so many of them down here in Miami where I live, the foundation of the building is the strongest part of the building, but that doesn't mean just because the foundation is the strongest part that you shouldn't put windows once you start building up to the 40th floor. It doesn't mean there shouldn't be windows and doors and sinks and doorknobs. Those things still matter. They may not be the most important part, but it's not that they should be completely disregarded and you shouldn't have them at all. All right. So emotion and logic work in lockstep. They work together. And there's just a hierarchy. That's all we're saying here. So emotion is what moves people to do something. And the biggest challenge most people have in life, whether with themselves or when trying to persuade, is that people are too lazy to move and do anything. People are just lazy. Human beings are naturally lazy. Most people, just the average random person or for the average random situation, are just lazy. So the most important thing you need to do when you're looking to influence anyone, that could be influencing you or influencing someone else, is you have to get them to do something. You got to break their inertia. Remember, the inertia is the state that they're already in to get them to do something different. You got to move them to action. And the best tool for moving someone to action and breaking their inertia is giving them an emotional trigger or an emotional reason to change their state. Despite all the YouTube, basketball, even this show, I started as a writer and I am still a prolific writer. As a matter of fact, I send out emails damn near every day. I call this the Daily Game email. I want you to get this every day to your inbox completely for free. So simply go to workonmygame.com. That's workonmygame.com and get my emails directly to your inbox every day free of charge. Again, that's workonmygame.com. The reason most people don't reach their goals in life is not because they never ask themselves what they want. Most of you do that. It's not because they're not willing to do the work. Most of you do a whole lot of that. It's because they never ask themselves the third key question, which is, who do I need to be? I wrote a book called The Mirror of Motivation that is all about asking and answering that question of and for yourself. That's why it's called The Mirror of Motivation. In that book, you're going to learn who you need to be as a person so that you can go get into that right energy, then do what you need to do, and then you'll be able to reach your goals and have what you want to have. And that sounds like the missing link in your process. And let me give you a hint. It is the missing link in your process. I'll give you a free copy of The Mirror of Motivation. All you have to do is cover the shipping and just go to mirrorofmotivation.com. Again, mirrorofmotivation.com. I will give you a free copy of that book so you can ask yourself the key question that you have never asked yourself, that most people never ask themselves, that will make all the difference in your success. mirrorofmotivation.com. Point number two. Topic once again is why emotional connection matters. Number two, it lasts longer than a logical connection. An emotional connection a person has to you will last a lot longer than any logical connection they have to you. In other words, someone who is your personal friend will stay connected and talking to you longer than if they just know you because y'all work at the same job. If y'all work at the same job and that's the only reason you talk to each other, as soon as you don't work there anymore or they don't work there anymore, you two may never speak again. There are plenty of jobs I've had in life where the only reason I talk to a person is because we work there together. There was no emotional connection between me and that individual. There are other people who I have worked with, and there was an emotional connection. We were actually friends. So when I stopped working there or they stopped working there, we went our separate directions. We stayed in touch because there was an emotional connection that was stronger than the logical, rational reason why we had to even acknowledge each other's presence. So all of you, as you think back in your life, you probably can think of these. There are people who you were just around them. You were physically in the same location as them for some period. And because of that, you talked to them because they were around. Maybe you had to because you were working together, or you were next door neighbors or whatever. But as soon as you and that person were no longer geographically connected, and therefore there was no reason why you had to see them, you never spoke to that person ever again in life. Right? Think of some of your past neighbors. Think of a place you lived in the past and someone lived near you. You would see them all the time and you would wave and say hi. But as soon as you or them was not around anymore, you never spoke of them again. And you might have never even thought of them. That thought of their presence never crossed your mind again. But now that I'm bringing it up, maybe you're thinking about somebody. And there are other people who maybe you never lived near them, but because they were friends of yours, maybe they were a friend of yours from when you grew up, and now you and that person live thousands of miles away from each other, but you're still in contact. Or you went to school together and you've been out of school for 10 years, but you and that person are still friends. Or you and them met one time randomly at a conference or an event or something, and you hung out for 2 hours 5 years ago. But you hit it off so much that you're still friends and you still talk to each other, even though you live in completely different parts of the world and you haven't seen each other in 5 years. You're still connected. Why? Because the emotional connection is stronger than a logical one. Logical decisions and logical reasonings matter, everyone. So do not go throw your logic out in the garbage. You need it. But emotional connection lasts longer than a logical one in most human interactions. This is why when you think of your favorite song, for example, from 20 years ago. So 20 years ago today, what was your favorite song? You know the answer. You remember not only the song, you don't only remember the words, but you remember why that song matters to you. Why does that song matter so much to you? It probably reminds you of a certain time in your life or something that you were doing or a certain person or a certain experience or a certain feeling. It reminds you of all these other things that come to you when you think about that song. It's not just the song itself. Now, you may think the song is an amazing song, maybe the greatest song ever recorded, but there are emotional connections that you have to the song that makes you stay connected to it. It's not just the quality of the song itself. Because the quality of the song itself is a logical explanation, and that you may like the song, but it's the emotion. What does that song mean to you that really allows you to or causes you to remember it and think fondly of it when I'm bringing it back to your memory right now? So there's a story around it. And story usually has an emotional connection. Most of the time when we remember a story and we can tell a story, there's an emotional connection to it. This is why I tell thought leaders all the time, you're going to be in a thought leadership space. One of the most important things you need to do is know your story or the relevant parts of your story that connect to what you do professionally or why you do your business. And you need to get good at telling that story over and over again at differing lengths, depending on who you're talking to. I was recording on someone's show today, as a matter of fact, with Matt. His show is called Get Better Every Day. By the time you all hear this episode, that show, actually, I don't know if it'll have come out by then. But on that show, Matt said, he told me before we started recording, hey, we're going to go about 25 minutes. And then the first question he asked was, tell me your background. And because I knew the episode was going to be 25 minutes, was relatively short, I condensed my story that I told to about 90 seconds. Now, if I knew we were doing an hour, I might have told that story. I might have made given the 3-minute version of the story. If we were doing a 3-hour interview, I would have did maybe the 5-minute or 10-minute version of that story. But the fact is, I know my story and I know how long or short I should go given the amount of time that I have. The point being, I know my story. I know it well enough that I can tell whatever length version of the story that I need to given the circumstance. And the reason that I tell my story is because I'm not telling you the logical things. I'm telling you I'm giving a bunch of emotional possible connections to the people. So I'll tell the part about how I played basketball or how I barely made the team or how I had to walk on over here, how I started talking about this part on social media before it was social media, how this audience started to connect to it and how I realized that, hey, I could build a business out of this. And I started doing this and I started doing that. And I tell certain parts because I'm throwing out these hooks that could possibly hook someone emotionally into why they want to stay connected with me, even though most of the people listening to the show are hearing about me for the first time. What I'm doing is throwing out emotional hooks, not logical hooks, emotional hooks. Usually when you're telling your story, there's an emotional connection that people will make to it. And once you start noticing what those connections are that are common, that are you're noticing them over and over again, you need to start using them. You need to start utilizing those emotional connections. So story is usually connected to emotion. Okay, I'm not telling people the bullet points of what Work On Your Game University is and all the logical things you're going to get from working with me as a coach. Those are important. But what really connects people is the emotion. That's why I lead with the story. I actually didn't lead. I'm on somebody else's show. They asked the question about the stories. The first thing that they asked is, what is the story? What is the background? Who are you and why do you exist? Notice that there's a reason why people open with the story. And it's his show. Why does he open with the story? Why is he open asking the guests their story? We want to know the story because we want to know this is what the listener is thinking, emotionally, why should I care about what this person has to say? Before I tell you what I have to say, the first thing you want to know is why you should care. This is why we lead with the emotion. We lead with why. And now that I have you connected with the why, the emotion, now you're willing to listen to the logic. Everybody follow me here. Thought leaders, y'all need to catch this point that I just said. Once people are connected to your why, your reason, your emotion, then they will listen to the logic, the points, the analytical stuff, the objective stuff, the rational stuff, the information, whatever the information happens to be. Okay, so there's a story around your background. You need to know it. You need to tell it. You need to tell it over and over again. That creates the connection. It's the same thing when it comes to your personal friends, the decisions that you have made long ago in your life. It's the emotional reason. That's the reason why they're your friends. They're not your friends because of some logical reason. They're usually real friends or friends because of an emotional connection. So yes, there are logical reasons why you did certain things 10 years ago that you still remember doing. But the emotional reasons are the ones that keep you connected to the decision or the thing, not the logic alone. Because when the logic wears off, you can just stop doing something. Most things that we consume just on a logical level, we usually end up forgetting. It's the reason why those of you listening to me who have college degrees, most of the classes that you took in college that you allegedly passed so that you can get your degree, you can't tell me one thing that you learned in that class. Even though you took the class, you sat in there, 2 or 3 times a week, every week for 12 weeks? 16 weeks, and you pass the class and you have a degree. You got a degree posted up on the wall in your home or in my case, in my mother's and father's living room and their home where I grew up. And I allegedly passed all those classes. I couldn't tell you, if you pressed me, I probably couldn't tell you 15 things I learned in college lecture halls, even though I went to school for 4 years and have a degree that says I did. Why? Because it was just logical. I had no connection to any of it, but I could tell you 100 stories from things that happened in college. Why? Because there's an emotional connection to them. Does everyone understand the difference? Now, when things have an emotional connection, we tend to remember the logic and the emotion. Magic formula. If you want people to remember your logical points connected to something emotional, they will remember the logic because the emotion will trigger the recollection of the logic. One reason I can remember so many things logically because I can create some type of emotional connection between them, and because of repetition. That's another thing. Napoleon Hill said that anytime you want to burn something into the subconscious mind, you can either create some emotional connection to it, which it makes it instant. Tony Robbins talks about this as well. And this is all part of neurolinguistic programming that goes into that as well. Not an area of expertise for me. Or the other thing is repetition. Same thing over and over and over and over again to the point that you just can't forget it because you've done it so many times. So I would combine both of those together. So there's a hint in there for any of you who is in the information or intellectual property businesses, right? The thought leader, that you want to connect your logical talking points or your information, whatever it is, connect it to some type of emotional thing. When you can do that, it's much easier to get your point across, number one, and to make sure that people retain it, number two. Because you want people to remember what you tell them, not just hear it. You know those days in your life when you don't really feel like being at work, you don't really feel like doing the job that you're required to do, but you have to do it anyway? Yeah, those days. We call those days the third day. Everyone has them, no matter what it is that you do. And you need to, if you're going to be a professional, have a system for getting through those days because they're going to happen. I wrote a book called The Third Day, The Decision That Separates the Pros from the Amateurs, that systematically and strategically coaches you on how to get through those days so you can give your best effort when you least feel like it. I will give you a free copy of the book. Again, it's called The Third Day. All you have to do is cover the shipping and go to thirddaybook.com. Again, that's thirddaybook.com. Get a free copy of that book, How to Separate Yourself, the Pro, from the Amateurs by showing up and giving your best effort when you least feel like it. Just go to thirddaybook.com. And number three, point number three. Today's topic, once again, is why emotional connection does matter. Number three, it reaches a larger volume of people. People are more apt and open to hearing something that connects with them emotionally than they are hearing or listening to something that they only connect with logically. Because only connect with something logically, people, it will go in one ear and out the other. And just to be frank, most people are just not even looking for anything that's logical. Because logic means thinking, it means using your brain. And what did I just tell you? People are lazy. If all you're offering people is an opportunity to think and use their brain and learn and take in information, there is a small percentage of people who will sign up for that, but the majority of people will not sign up for that because, again, people are intellectually lazy. If you want to get information to people, you have to mix it in with something that's emotional because people will come for the emotion and you can slip the information in without them even noticing that you're giving it to them. Have you ever seen a line of people waiting outside of a library? Has any of you ever seen a line of people waiting outside of a library? You ever seen a line of people waiting outside of a bookstore? Only time you see someone, a line of people outside of a bookstore is because they are lined up to go meet someone who is there for a meet and greet or a book signing, which is an emotional connection that is not a logical connection. Understand something. Whenever someone has a book signing, and I've done a book signing. When I did my book, Work On Your Game, I did a book event at a big local independent bookstore down here in South Florida. And we had books to sign. And at the end of the event, people lined up to have me sign their book or they bought a copy of the book and I signed it. And I signed about 50 copies of my own book. And let me tell you something. When people do book signings, most of the consumers who buy a copy of the book in order to get it signed and, you know, shake the hand of the author and take a picture with the author, you know what? Most of the people who buy those books don't even read the damn book. It's not the logic that they're there for. I would tell you, in my book, Work On Your Game, remember I did this event 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago. No, it was not to the day, but the book came out about 5 years ago to the day from when I'm recording this. Most of the people who got me to sign their copy of my book probably did not even read the book. I'm happy that they bought it. I mean, we took the money, but did they read the book? Most of them probably not. And any of you have been to a book signing and you got somebody's book and they signed the book? Let me ask you, did you read the book? Yeah, now you're laughing because you know you didn't read it. Here's the point. People sign up for things that trigger them emotionally, not things that trigger them logically. Only about 2% of the people will sign up for something that is only logically triggering. But everybody will sign up for something that's emotionally triggering, even the logical people. Have you ever seen a line of people outside of a movie theater? Of course you have. You ever seen a line of people outside of a sporting venue for a game, a big match? Yes. Have you ever seen a line of people outside of a concert hall to go hear their favorite artist play a song that they've listened to a million times already? Of course you have. Have you ever seen a line of people lined up to get some food at a new restaurant? New Chick-fil-A is opening and there's 1,000 people lined up to get Chick-fil-A sandwich at the new Chick-fil-A. Have you ever seen that or heard of it? Of course you have. You've seen a line of people lined up for a whole bunch of things that don't require any type of intellectual engagement, but you never see people lined up for things that require intellectual engagement only. If it's just intellectual only, very rarely do you see a line of people because there's no crowd. There's no competition for that. There's very little competition for those things. That's why you never see a line outside the library. Again, library is free. Anybody can access it. It has all the information and knowledge and data that you want in the world, all in the library, and it's virtually free. Why do you never see a line or a crowd of people trying to get into a library? Even though most of the time when I talk to people, and I work in the intellectual property space, I work in the thought leadership space, I help people who claim that their biggest challenge is that they are trying to get over some hump that usually requires some form of knowledge or information. And when you ask them, they say, I just need more information. I need more knowledge. I need more help. There are things that I don't know, things I don't know how to do. Why are these people not just going to the library and getting the information? Because that's not what people actually want. That's why. Again, this is why there's no lines at the library ever, but there's always a line at the movie theater. Now, I talk to a lot of people, and many of them think that the only thing in their way is some form of how-to, information, strategy, advice, tips, or something that's based in logic, right? If some of you listening to this right now, I'm talking about you. Many of you listening to me right now, this is exactly who I'm describing. Something logical is the only thing between you and all the success that you want. So why is there not a line of people like you outside of the library to go close that knowledge gap and just get all that information completely for free? It is because, based on our behavior, not our words, but our behavior, logic is not the main thing that most people want. People do not go running after logic, even though you can get it virtually for free. I mean, you go to a bookstore, and the same way you can go to a library and just sit in there all day and just read books, you go to a library and just sit in there and read any book you want all day, and nobody's ever going to kick you out, question you, or look at you crazy because you're sitting there reading all the books. You only have to check the book out. You can just sit there and read the whole book right there in the library. You can get there at 8 in the morning when it opens, leave at 8 at night when it closes, and you can read an entire book in the library for free. And nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to question you. Nobody's even going to look at you crazy. Nobody's even going to notice you, as a matter of fact, because there ain't going to be too many other people in there. You do the same thing at a bookstore. Then you go to a bookstore these days, and there ain't too many left. But what's the bookstore still? Barnes & Noble is still doing pretty well, it appears. Barnes & Noble bookstore, notice they got big chairs in there. They got coffee shops in there. Why they got all those chairs in the middle of the bookstore? Because they want you to sit down and read books, because they are probably betting that the longer you sit in there, the more likely you might actually buy something. But you could go into a bookstore when it opens in the morning, pick a book off the shelf, sit there and read the entire book while the store is open, and no one is ever going to question you, challenge you, ask you to buy the book, kick you out. You can sit in there and read a whole book, put it back on the shelf, walk out, don't buy anything. Nobody's going to say anything. All the information you want is right there. Why don't anybody do it? Because nobody wants information. That's not really what people want. Now, people need information. And on some level, information will be helpful to most of us, but we don't sign up for information. Because if we did, again, instead of everybody lining up to go to the movies, we'd be lining up to go to the library or the bookstore. You never see a line at either one. And the only time you see a line at the bookstore is when people want to go for the fun, the entertainment, not because they're going to read anything. Again, people lining up for a book signing don't even read the damn book they got signed. It's funny, right? When you really think about it, it's actually really funny. But let's talk about it some more. I'm not done. Only time I've ever seen a line at the library in my life, at the library, not the bookstore, the library, was on my college campus. Actually, this was the bookstore, as a matter. So let me correct myself. It was the college bookstore, because we had a library and a bookstore. I never saw a line at the library. The only time the library was crowded, I've ever seen a crowded library in my life, was on my college campus. I went to two different colleges, Penn State Abington, Penn State Altoona. The only time the library was quote unquote crowded was when everybody was trying to get into the damn computer lab and use the computers to get on the internet to be entertained, not because they were lining up to fight over checking books out of the actual rows of books in the card catalog. I've never seen a line of people at the card catalog fighting over, I need to get access to some information. Never, ever in my life. Have you ever seen it? Of course you haven't. Nobody's seen it because it never happens. The only time there's a crowd in the library was in the computer lab. And this is, I went to school back in the day. I guess I'm old to some of you. when before we had phones, but we couldn't do all the stuff on the phones you could do on a smartphone today. So this is when if you want to browse the internet, you couldn't do it on your phone. You had to actually get on a computer, and not everybody had a computer. So we would go to the computer lab to use the computers. That's the only time it was crowded in the library was at the computer lab, not the books, the computer lab. You go in the book part of the library and you could hide all day. Nobody would even find you. They had a cops looking for you. They wouldn't find you. You hidden there. You would never think to look for somebody in there because there would never be anybody in there. And I spent some time in there, as a matter of fact, and I could hide in there. But nobody would ever come find me if I wanted to hide in there all day. Only time I saw a line, this is what I was trying to get to. I diverted from my point. Only time I ever saw a line at the bookstore, besides a book signing, was on my college campuses at the end of the semester. I don't know if they do this anymore. Any of you who's been in school in the last 5 years, you can send me a message and let me know if this still happens. Where you would buy your textbooks at the beginning of the school year, and then at the beginning of the semester, and at the end of the semester, you bought the book for $70. At the end of the semester, you could sell the book back to the bookstore, and they would give you $12 for the book that you spent $70 on. The book is in the same shape that it was when you bought it, but now they're only going to give you $12 out of the $70 that you spent, and there would be a line of students lined up to sell those books back at a greatly discounted price at the end of the semester. That's the only time I saw a line at a bookstore ever in my life. What about you? So you have seen a line of people at the concert hall. You've seen people at the movies. You've seen masses of people talking about some form of entertainment, like a sports match, a concert, movie, popular TV show, because this is what people want. Again, don't go off of what people say. Watch what they do. If you watch what people do, you notice that people will line up and crowd around entertainment. Nobody lines up and crowds around information, ever. So if your goal was to reach the masses of people, even those who are serious about success, again, look at their actions. You need to find an emotional connection as to what will move them to action. It ain't information. And what they will respond to, also not information. If you're looking for a niche group of people, emotion can help you there as well, because the people in that niche group are still humans, and human beings in general will move for emotion. They will not move for information. Now, I'm not saying there aren't any people in the world who will move for information. And at certain times in life, maybe all of you will be moved by information depending on the reason, but not everybody and not most of the time. If you just want to place a general bet without going into too much detail, lean towards emotion. You're more likely to find more people and more likely to move them to actually do something as opposed to information. Because everybody says they want information, offer them information, they don't do shit. But again, look at your life and tell me if I'm right or wrong. Recap in today's class, which is why emotional connection still matters. Okay, so emotional connection does matter, folks. Even if you're a very logical person, you happen to lean very logical, even someone like myself who happens to lean very logical, you still need to understand the value of using emotion, because this is really what moves people to do stuff. Because if it was just about information, then, well, shit, a lot of things in life would be different. And the library would be charging the same thing that a Taylor Swift or Beyonce concert charges, because there would be that much demand. But it's free because there ain't no demand for it. Let's recap. Point number one, emotion bypasses the logical centers of the brain. If you desperately need to move a person to action, figure out what triggers them emotionally, not logically, because if you just give people information, they usually don't do a damn thing with it. Number two, it lasts longer than logical connection. While logical decisions and logical reasoning do matter, the only thing that keeps a connection between a human and another thing, whether it's a person, place, thing, or idea, or action, it needs to be something emotional. You have friends that you haven't seen physically in 10 years, but they're still your friend. Why? Because there's an emotional connection between you and that person. Now, a person who you only have a logical connection to, as soon as that logical connection has been over for 10 minutes, you completely forget that person, that they ever existed, and they're doing the same with you. Why? Because logic does not have sticking power. Number three, emotion reaches a larger volume of people. Again, have you ever seen a line of people outside of a library other than trying to sell back a textbook that they claim they needed to get all the information so they can graduate from school? Then they sell it back to the school. If the information was that valuable, why didn't you keep the book? Think about this, folks. How about the movie theater? You ever seen a line of people at the movies? Of course. You ever seen a line of people outside of a concert? Of course. You ever seen a line of people going to watch a sporting match? Of course. People will line up for entertainment. Nobody lines up for information, ever. Nobody lines up for logic, everybody. Everybody lines up for emotion, because that is what moves us. That is what moves us to action. That's what we care about. So do not listen to what people say about information. Watch what they do. If you want to give people information, which we do need, you need to tie it somehow to an emotional trigger within the person who you're trying to reach. And we all have different emotional triggers at different times for different reasons. Your job is to figure out what those are or what that is. Trigger that, then you slip the emotion in inside of that. But if you just come to people with just information or logic, just on its own with no emotion connected to it, good luck. You're not going to do too well. You're not going to have to talk to too many people. So That's what it is. With all that said, folks, text me, see my text community numbers down below in the description. And Work On Your Game University. You want to learn how to do these things that I just talked about? I told you what to do. You want to learn how to do it, how to find the right triggers and the right people. If you find that your message has information, but you haven't figured out how to get it to the right people in the right ways for the right reasons that they care about, not just what you care about, but they care about, come to Work On Your Game University. And you just heard me break this all down. I will show you how exactly to do this, how you can use it on yourself, how you can use it on your target audiences, and how to get your information mixed in with the emotion that actually will move people to do something. Because some of you right now have great information and you are maybe starting to doubt yourself or your offering because you're thinking, well, nobody's really responding to this. And the reason people aren't responding is not because anything wrong with you or what you're offering. It's simply because you have the wrong formula for how to get it out to other people. The good news is people like myself know how to deconstruct this and make it work for you. So just go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. Work on your game. Dre all day. While you are here, don't forget to text me so you can be part of my texting community where you can ask me questions. You can share challenges with me. You are messaging me directly. You can get a direct response from me because I do read and reply to my messages. My number again, 305-384-6894. One more time, 305-384-6894. Make sure you text me because you never know when I'm going to send a message that could be the one thing you need to hear, the one thing you need to do, the one insight you need to get that could change your life. Make sure you message me, 305-384-6894. Are you ready to take your health and well-being to the next level? Or if you're already at the next level, you want to make sure you stay there? Introducing AG1, the ultimate all-in-one supplement that will revolutionize your daily routine. AG1 is meticulously crafted to provide your body with a comprehensive blend of 75 essential nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. What does all that mean? Let me make it simple. Means you're getting the perfect solution for those of you who are committed to optimizing your health and fueling your body with the very best. I take this stuff myself. Besides water and my protein shake, I don't put anything else in my body. Whether you're a professional athlete or someone who values meticulous attention to detail when it comes to what you put in your body, AG1 is designed with people like us in mind. But the benefits don't stop there. When you choose AG1, you're going to receive a free 1-year supply of vitamin D, a vital nutrient that supports a strong immune system and promotes healthy bones. On top of that, we're including 5 free AG1 travel packs so you can stay on top of your game wherever life takes you. If a comprehensive solution is what you need from your supplement routine, then try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. That's drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. Your body deserves the highest quality nutrition, and AG1 is here to deliver. That's why I partner with them. That's drinkag1.com/workonyourgame.